slightly different tack today. I'm going to talk about football. So if you do not want to hear about football, please keep listening because it is great for the engagement numbers. But in all seriousness, so I got up early this morning, watched the Man United Coventry FA Cup semi-final. Bloody hell. Been a Man United fan for, I was trying to figure this out earlier, 25 years, I think. I can barely remember what I did last week, let alone when I was seven, but I'm pretty sure that my first memory of a Man United game was when I was seven and their Champions League treble, their triumph in 1999. So that is when I'm claiming my fandom began. But anyway, I have enjoyed many great years with Man United and some horrific ones since Alex Ferguson left in 2013. And it's so odd to watch an FA Cup semi-final with nothing but fear and trepidation. There was no way we could win today, really, because we either don't beat a team like Coventry by enough goals, or ultimately we lose to a team like Coventry in the Championship, which is obviously, you know, not a great look. But the nature of the game, the fact that we are running away with it, 3-0, Harry Maguire gets a goal. Harry Maguire gets a goal. I'm not as big a Harry Maguire critic as I know there are around. I quite like the big slab heed of Harry Maguire, especially when he scores from a corner. But Harry gets his goal. Everything's looking pretty good. Onana's making some crazy saves. It's 3-0. 70 minutes in, 3-0. What are you thinking? And then here they come. Coventry City, the mighty Coventry City. 3-1. 3-2. Off a huge deflection. Onana's got no chance. 3-3. And you sat there, and at this point, as blasphemous as this is to say, at this point, extra time, Coventry are running us rampant. Like, they are all over us. And I am just, I kind of want Coventry to win. I'm kind of like, look, I'm getting caught up in this. You've come from 3-0 down at Wembley. This is the biggest match since I've been a football fan. I know they won, you know, they have won the FA Cup final, but that I can remember, Coventry haven't done much in my time. So this is a big deal. And I'm kind of sat there and I'm looking at Man United team, and you've got players like Antony, who I could speak for 45 minutes, probably understatement about Antony and how rubbish I think Antony is, but that's for another time. You have players like Antony running around while Coventry are running riot, and I'm thinking this is going to end badly here. This is not going to go well. And then Coventry step up for the penalties. The captain misses. He misses an FA Cup semi-final penalty. Absolute disaster zone. And somehow United squeak through. And it's, you know, I said, you go into the game with fear and trepidation. You come out of the game feeling kind of like a loss, which is ridiculous, right? Because I know you've won, and you don't want to be ungrateful. You've made it to the FA Cup final, but for 2 years in a row. But just like probably the most demoralizing way you could win a game, having squandered a 3-0 lead to a Championship team. But that is Man United this year. That is Man United for the last decade. That is not the team that 7-year-old Otto fell in love with as a glory supporter back in the day. But, you know, we stick with it through thick and thin. So United win. They get through to the final. And who's there? Who are we seeing there? Second year in a row. Hello, Manchester City. Lovely little Manchester City, having squeaked through similarly against Chelsea. Chelsea have been diabolical all year. Well, maybe Chelsea and Man United are kind of one in the same this year. Just shambolic highs and lows. But if Chelsea had a striker, aka Nicholas Jackson, you are terrible. Put me up top. I could probably score a goal for Chelsea with some of the service that he gets. He is rubbish. Like, worry less about dyeing your hair blue and just score some goals. If Chelsea had a striker, or if they had 11 Cole Palmers, I guess, maybe 10, maybe they'd put him in goal. If they had 10 Cole Palmers, they would have won that game. City were rubbish. City were terrible. And it had a little bit of the City Real Madrid game from midweek last week, where City are kind of doing the defending. You know, City are the Real Madrid, and they're, you know, they're betting in, they're defending, they're just not looking particularly slick. And then little Bernardo Silva pops up with a little deflected goal down the other end. Little Bernardo. I'm a big Bernardo Silva fan, to be fair. I think he should move to a different team. But, yeah, rubbish. Chelsea just... I don't know what happens there, to be honest. I don't know what next season looks like for Chelsea in terms of if Pochettino's still there. Because they have some really good players. They need a better goalie. They have obviously spent 700,000 million bajillion dollars on their centre midfield, who don't seem to be doing too much because Conor Gallagher is still playing. But they have a couple of really good players, and I think Pochettino, if he gets time, because this is the other thing, right, about this summer, everyone's saying Ten Hag should go, Pochettino should probably go, you know, Klopp is obviously leaving Liverpool. But who's available? You know, who's coming in? Who's going to be able to pick up the reins on these teams? And as a United fan, you read the same thing all the time. It's like, oh, get in, you know, we'll bring in Zidane. Why is Zidane going to do a good job? We'll bring in, not Simeone anymore because Atletico have gone out of fashion, but the list is shorter and shorter. There doesn't seem to be kind of the five or six people up for grabs that there usually is. So I reckon Chelsea should just stick with him, but I reckon they should get a better striker. And maybe, to be fair, if Nkunku is fit next season, maybe he fills that gap. Because I think I don't watch too much Bundesliga, but he was an absolute weapon for Leipzig for many a year. So I think maybe Nkunku could help him out and just sit up top and get rid of Jackson Sealer. But that is the FA Cup. So you got United versus City again for the second year in a row after last year's shellacking, when I'm pretty sure Gundogan scored, I can't remember how quick it felt, like 2 seconds into the game, but scored a very heart-wrenching volley very early on in the game. So I'm very excited about the prospect of meeting Man City in the FA Cup final. The last thing I would say on the City-Chelsea game is City, in the space of a week, very quickly could have gone from this world of everyone talking about going back-to-back trebles to just having the league. And I know, again, as a Man United fan that's been torched for 10 years, the league is a very enticing prospect. But for City, with the amount of money they spend and the standards they've set, you know, it gets that point almost where it's like in Germany where Bayern win the league 10 years in a row. It's kind of like winning the league by itself is not enough. And so I wonder if City had lost that semi-final and all of a sudden they go from, you know, they go out of the Champions League, they go out of the FA Cup, likely they're still going to win the league. It's not a given, and we'll see what happens. But if they just win the league, obviously you're never going to get rid of Guardiola. But is that how does that classify as a season? Is that a good season for City? I'm not so sure. But that's the FA Cup. Very quickly, just Premier League as well. This is the one advantage I've found. I constantly complain about living in Australia in terms of the time zone, but one of the advantages is I can actually get the games really early in my day. And then create really engaging, amazingly good audio content for you that you can get before some of the other people put their stuff out. So touching very briefly on a couple of the other Prem games. Fulham-Liverpool. So Liverpool beat Fulham 3-1 at Craven Cottage. It was a good game. Trent does what he does and scored a very tasty free kick. The football boots that Trent has been wearing recently, the custom Adidas Predators that are white and red, have been all over all of my social media for the past, I don't know, 2 weeks. And they are an extortionate price, but it's good to see that he can put them to good use and bend one into the top corner. So it was a very nice Trent goal, and England fans will be getting very excited ahead of the Euros, no doubt, to see Trent banging in free kicks. But it was a big result for Liverpool after a pretty crappy run. Atalanta game was not a great demonstration of who Liverpool are as a team, so they'll be happy to bounce back from that. And I, my kind of personal stake in that Liverpool game was, I'm a big Gravenberch fan, and that's his first Premier League goal. It was a very tasty goal. I love an in-off-the-post goal. you're always going to get bonus points from me if you can get an in off the post goal. So well done to Ryan, Mr. Graven Birch himself. Fulham, yeah, didn't really show up, but they're kind of fine on the beach, as they say. Safe, nothing really to worry about. In other news, Arsenal, similarly to Liverpool, Arsenal bounced back after a bit of a bad run and beat Wolves, which is always a tough game, at Wolves as well. I think Wolves are kind of in that Fulham category, though, where, you know, they're safe. They've not got too much left to play for. But, yeah, a good little result for Arsenal. Arsenal are kind of in the same camp as Chelsea for me, not performance-wise, because I know Chelsea are way down the table. But if Arsenal had a really good striker, and I know Arsenal fans are growing, they're warming to Havertz. I know that, you know, people that appreciate football will argue the benefits of Gabriel Jesus. I think Gabriel Jesus is fine. But I think if you had a proper number nine or a proper striker, someone that just bangs in goals, and maybe that is a little bit more experienced, I think Arsenal would be absolutely flying, because they're the one team that have come up against City in this season anyway. Shut them out defensively, held them down defensively, and if they could just score some goals in sort of those big occasions, like the Bayern game last week was shambolic. And I know a lot of Arsenal fans will listen to this and they'll say, yeah, but you know, we've scored four, we've scored five, scored six a couple of times this season, that's fine. But it's just, you get to these moments towards the end of the season where clearly the mentality goes a little bit for a team like Arsenal. And if you had someone that's kind of been there and done it leading the line that could just, you know, could just pop up with a goal or two consistently, I think it would make a big difference. So I wonder if in the summer that might be a bone of contention, or if Arteta just decides to crack on with the Havertz experiment. More power to him. He is the manager after all. So that's English football. Very briefly, I wanted to touch on the El Clasico, Barca Real Madrid, because that is a game like no other. And again, with the time zones, I was able to catch the end of that. So I was thinking about this earlier. I was trying to think, is there any game, and this might be because City are so dominant in England at the moment, and you might argue City-Liverpool maybe in recent years has been the kind of game that comes closest, but I don't know. You watch El Clasico in an absolutely bouncing Bernabeu, and just like the colours, the noise, it looks chaotic. And for Real Madrid to win in the 90th minute with it, you know, it had to be Jude. Who else but Jude this year? Yeah, just an outrageous game. The other thing I would say is, that, I mean, obviously Real Madrid win the game, but the thing that I thought was most impressive was, as a shorter gentleman, was watching Christensen's first goal. Oh, Christensen's only goal, sorry, Barcelona's first goal. But just the height he gets. If you haven't seen it, watch the highlights. And he jumps about 20 feet in the air. Like, it's ridiculous. He's basically standing on the Real Madrid defender's shoulders. Like, it's madness. But it was a good game. And, you know, Barca have been a little bit hit and miss this year. Xavi's obviously leaving at the end of the year. And they're playing with a bunch of 17-year-olds who are unbelievably good. But, yeah, it was a great game. It was an outrageous game. And it's crazy when you watch, you still see Modric and Kroos running Real Madrid's midfield in 2024 is absolutely bananas. But yeah, fantastic match. Watch the highlights of that if you can. And as I said, I don't think there's a game in England, in the Premier League at the moment, that rivals that. I think that is probably the most iconic fixture in the world, still, I would say. Speaking of European football that I know very little about, Dortmund-Leverkusen game was a good one. Leverkusen are just, there's something going on, you know, where people, you watch football games and people hit the post and, you know, keepers make amazing saves, and a lot of time people will say, oh, you know, it's not their day, or it's the other team's day. And I think Leverkusen just have made a deal with someone somewhere. I'm not a religious man, but if there's someone upstairs, they've made a deal with someone that is, let us go through this season unbeaten, because the number of games they did against West Ham a couple of weeks ago, like the number of games where they just pop up in the last of the last minutes, and I think today was the 92nd minute, to grab an equaliser and maintain that invincible run is just staggering. Like, it's outrageous. You've won the league for the first time. You've kind of done the job, Leverkusen. You wouldn't begrudge them for maybe dropping a point or two, but clearly Xabi Alonso is banging that drum that let's take this all away and let's remain unbeaten for as long as we can, which is good to see. And in terms of their attacking talent, like, Frimpong on the right is, you know, you get right backs that can defend, you get right backs that cannot defend. Frimpong is not expected to defend. He is just a right winger. So you basically just play with two right wingers if you're Leverkusen. And the one thing you can pretty much always guarantee is that at some point in the game, Frimpong will be dancing in celebration because he's involved in absolutely everything. And it's hilarious because I can remember when he played at Celtic as a right back, and he was, you know, he was best right back in the Scottish League, unsurprisingly, but he was like 17. So he has gone on to some good things. And I think I was reading somewhere the other day, I think his release clause was like 30 million, which is bananas. So he'll be getting snapped up in the summer by someone if he wants to leave, of course. Unless Leverkusen decide to run it back and try and win the league again. Elsewhere in Germany, I know I had a loyal German listenership, Bayern Munich have decided to kind of wake up after a year of being asleep at the wheel. And it seems like now the league's done and dusted, they've decided to remember who they were and crack on as Bayern Munich and do their classic flat track bully. We're going to rinse everyone, beat Union Berlin 5-1, and Hazard Kane got his, you know, millionth goal of the season. But Leon Goretzka was a freak in that game, like, just absolutely ran the show. And speaking of Modric and Kroos earlier, Thomas Müller, Benjamin Button, Thomas Müller rocks up with a couple of goals and does his thing. He's incredible because he looks so immobile, and I know he's a bit older, but just instincts. He's just there, he just pops up with the goals. And then it'll be this morning, tomorrow morning my time, Milan Derby. So speaking about El Clasico, Milan Derby again, you know, it's historically obviously a massive game. Inter Milan kind of running away with Serie A this year and just looking ridiculously good, even though they couldn't help me out when I put a cheeky wager on them to win the Champions League, and they should have beaten Atletico Madrid, but hey ho, thanks for that, useless. But I will be up nice and early to watch that game tomorrow because big fan of the San Siro matches. But yeah, that's it for me today. A little roundup. Wanted to do something on football today. As I said, I gave you a warning up front. So if you've made it this far, thank you very much. And I will speak to you soon.